trying a new thing. I'm trying to laugh a lot less. And I'm finding it very difficult.
Oh boy. You should write a self-help book. I picture you like, you're like, I don't know, wearing something flowy, and you've got a glass of white wine on, like, you know, some porch in Central California, and like, learn to laugh less. How do you know? She told me she loves me. This is the Never Fail Podcast. My name is Tim Dobbs, and with me, as ever, is our friend Catherine Kogert.
Hi.
And today, broccoli. I brought us a topic, Catherine. We're going to talk about broccoli.
Okay.
Broccoli.
Oh, gross broccoli.
So, were you actually an oh gross broccoli child growing up, or
no way?
You're pro broccoli.
Very pro broccoli.
All over town.
My mom had a secret key to vegetables, which was A, to brainwash me to love anything citrus.
Interesting.
And then B, to drench the broccoli with lemon and like garlic salt.
That is a lovely way to have broccoli. Did you have butter on it as well?
Or? No butter. It's bad for you.
No butter.
Maybe half a tablespoon of olive oil to cook it, right? No, it was steamed.
Yeah, you steam it. Although, yeah, you can,
There's lots of ways
to
do broccoli.
I don't want
to
tell tales out of school about steaming vegetables. So, lots of ways to make broccoli, that's for sure. We always, my sister liked broccoli. She's very picky. Very, very picky, my sister. But only the florets, like the top-ish of the flowers. You know, like the little dark green parts.
Really?
So, naturally, because I'm an agreeable young man, I chose to only like the stems, the stalks.
Okay, so that you could be like...
I don't know what was going on there.
There's definitely something going on there.
Honestly, I would guess that I probably didn't care, but was just trying to make an ice with everything. But who knows?
Aw.
Yeah, well, like I said, very agreeable. But it turns out broccoli, kind of interesting. Beyond the, like, hey, is it gross or not? I vote not. I think it's delicious. Do you still like it?
I vote not.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. High five. Two healthy people here. Where would you say broccoli is from? Do you know this? Where is it native?
Ooh.
You know, in much as the tomato is native to South America, where is the broccoli native?
Where is broccoli native? I have no idea.
It turns out Northern Mediterranean / Asia Minor, which is totally not what I would have guessed.
No, not at all. Interesting. Right? I would have thought California.
Or somewhere cold weather. Well, that's the thing, is that it does grow well in California because it has such a similar climate to Italy.
Okay.
So it's actually big in Italian cooking, which, again, I didn't really think of. Like, is it? All I can think of is like a pasta salad with like broccoli mixed in, like little florets.
But yeah, I guess so. I mean... So I get the sense that Italian cooking like radically changed after like Christopher Columbus and stuff.
Sure, upon the discovery of the tomato.
Yeah.
And then like pizza is only like 1800s. Like how did that happen?
Right. And yeah. I mean they didn't have tomatoes until somebody brought them back from the New World, and they didn't have noodles until Marco Polo went to China.
Is that right? So Marco Polo went to China, took the concept of noodles with him, and then they made it from, because it would be rice noodles in China, so they made it with...
whatever grains they had.
And eggs, I believe, are in pasta as well.
I believe so, yeah.
But when you look at it, write it out. Take a pen and a notepad or something and write it out. It looks Italian, doesn't it?
Oh my god, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does, because it's the plural of broccolo.
My mind
broccoli,
is blown.
Broccoli, broccolo, yeah. I looked up the translation of broccolo because I was like, all right, well, what the hell is that? And, supposedly it's the flowering top of a cabbage is a broccolo. So broccoli would be like a lot of those, but
okay.
I couldn't find the translation. It also like, oh man, I got really into the etymology of this. And, it's the broccolo is the diminutive of brocco, which is a sprout or branch, or everyone seems to disagree. I also saw the word buckfoot, which I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
Buckfoot?
I don't know.
Sounds like a swear.
Buckfoot?
We should beep it. Let's just bleep it.
I think it's because it rhymes with a bad word.
It's Cockney rhyming slang.
Now I'm laughing at if you didn't use the rhyming version and you called someone a bleepfoot. That'd be really funny. I want to do it now.
Okay, I'll try to make you mad.
Okay.
Should we do that now or save it?
I think we should. You should do something really egregious with your feet.
But you can't see them. So, the broccolo. Broccoli. I really like the other one is graffiti. That's an Italian word. It's the plural of graffito.
Okay.
That's so, nice, too.
Oh,
I like
guess...
discovering plurals I didn't realize.
Okay. I can respect that. But I can't necessarily have anything witty to say about it. Sorry, Tim.
Jeez, I'm just giving you... I'm throwing up these alley-oops and you're just, like, shooting them down. It's like I'm playing horse and you're playing skeet
shooting.
Hand
grenades.
Horses and hand grenades. My favorite game. Oh, where did I come? So the reason that broccoli being in northern Mediterranean didn't make a lot of sense to me is that it's a cool weather crop, which I don't associate with Italy, but I guess I'm thinking of southern Italy.
Yeah,
because
northern Italy
it likes to grow in like 64 to 70 degrees.
So not cold, but like not
cool.
Warm.
Well, what you would do is you wouldn't grow it in, corn would grow in my homeland of New England. They do grow corn, although not nearly as much as many other places. But they grow it over the summer where it's like 95 degrees.
Right.
And that's acceptable, whereas it would kill broccoli.
Okay.
Which explains why it came to be grown in California. Now, I have a bit of a story to tell you.
Okay. Tell me a story.
Okay. So, as you may recall, in the 1930s, early 20th century, many Italian immigrants came over through Ellis Island.
Ah, but of course.
Yes, and they came to live in your New York's, your New York suburbs, and etc.
Where they were confused
many places
with
in
Jews.
The Northeast.
Yes.
Yes, the great Italian Jewish fusion, bringing us the pizza bagel.
Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at
pizza
supper time.
Pizza supper time.
Because when pizza's on a bagel, Tim.
You can eat pizza anytime.
That's how it ends.
All right.
Great.
I'm suddenly really down. Let's just go to
pizza. Oh no, that's so sad. Why? Pizza bagels. That's all I can say.
So, we are back on the Doom to Fail podcast, and when we last left off...
We were talking about pizza bagels.
And many Italian immigrants had recently come to the Northeast United States, and they longed for broccoli. They wished they could have it. They thought, where can I get some broccoli?
Seriously?
I miss the food of my homeland.
In what dish is there broccoli?
I really don't know.
That's really weird.
The point is, there was a demand for broccoli, and right around this time, there also was apparently, I didn't realize this until I started really looking at it, but apparently there's a real Italian population in the sort of Silicon Valley region of California.
Okay.
And so at that time, the D'Arrigo brothers... moved to California and saw that no one was really making broccoli, but that there was a huge demand because they couldn't grow enough of it in the Northeast because, as we recently discussed, mm-hmm. you can't grow it there. It's a cool weather crop.
No.
And so they created this idea of like, hey, let's just make a bunch of broccoli and then ship it over to the Northeast to fill this hole.
Okay.
And that's how California became a broccoli center.
Was it already an agricultural center?
Yes, because it's just a good area to grow.
Right.
This is Salinas, East of Eden, John Steinbeck kind of land.
Yeah.
Definitely people were growing stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
So here's what happens, is that they ship all this broccoli over there, and of course it gets snapped up, because they're like, hey, broccoli, great. And But the DiRegio start thinking big, and they launch a full-on ad campaign. And that involves, like, this old-style marketing where there's, like, demonstrations in a grocery store about how to cook it. And they sponsor a radio show called the DiRegio Serenaders.
Oh, because they're trying to expand out of Italian immigrants?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. I gotcha.
Because at this time, broccoli was still thought of as a strange ethnic food.
Weird.
Which is hard for me to think of now.
So
I'm just, you know,
hard to think of. It's so strange.
This is like less than 100 years ago. But yeah, I picture like, oh yeah, meat and potatoes and like a green, probably broccoli.
Probably
like
broccoli.
That's, you know,
yeah.
the sort of like most general thing I can think of if you don't want to offend.
For me, like the most American meal is like a steak, some mashed potatoes, and broccoli all drenched in A1.
Do you like A1 sauce?
Do I?
I used to be really into it when I was a kid.
I'm still really into it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you buy the real
one? It has grapefruit juice in it. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get too off. So then they also taught grocery stores how to treat it, because it had to be special care, keep it cool, and all that.
Okay.
And then they had to somehow set their brand apart, because the thing is, it's all being shipped from very far away, and they're trying to make broccoli. I have to do the hand motion. I have to do it one more time now. Jesus. And they're trying to make broccoli.
You know, no one can see the hand motion, so it doesn't matter.
You can see it, and you just made me do this one more time. And they're trying to make
broccoli. Better. Happy now. I know
never.
I am. All right.
Taught
I hate you
grocery
too.
Stores how to treat. So they're trying to make broccoli a sort of, they're trying to popularize the product. And so for them, they're in trouble if an inferior broccoli gets shipped over and people try that. And then they're like, this isn't any good. So they have to brand. And what they do is they get a distinctive pink band. And instead of calling it DiRizzo or anything, they name it after one of the DiRizzo sons, Andy. And this is Andy Boy, which I actually still see. This is a popular produce brand. It has a pink band, and you can get, I've had romaine, things like that. So if you ever see Andy Boy, these are the people who popularized broccoli.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool, and I think it's a good example. I imagine it just feels like the sort of thing that could be taught in a, like, you know, marketing case study class or something.
Do you think, see, okay, the reason I'm like, no, it's not, is that, well, we're kind of living in a totally different environment where nothing is exotic anymore.
Well, that's not entirely true. I've never had Iranian food.
Okay, well, that's not exotic to me.
Well, good for you, la-di-da.
Yeah, that is a really good comeback, I know.
It might have been the best ever. It's a good thing we recorded it. So, I suppose so, but I disagree with you. I think, nothing being exotic is maybe something particular to you. So when I see a new food, I'm like, oh, let's try that. But I'm consistently surprised. I was just talking with a friend of mine, who is visiting from, Portland. And she was saying that she's had trouble finding a good, like, egg and bagel sandwich in the Pacific Northwest, because she's from California but has lived up there. And she was just sort of surprised at how just, like, yeah, they weren't just around. You couldn't just go to, like, a cafe or something, which is a little strange. But
wait,
I
yes,
think
you
it's,
can.
Well, I'm sure there's a place, but
there's, like, eight places right by me. Right, I'm sorry I keep ruining this, but, like, there are.
but no, so perhaps you don't. We don't know for sure. It's hard to say. But there are a lot of cases where, like Philly cheesesteak is a great example.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you can get a steak sandwich a lot of places, but, like, somehow it's not the same, and it's confusing how that doesn't translate. Like, it's weird because a Philly cheesesteak is a pretty simple recipe, but,
yeah,
like, somehow it's just, like, there's not a place that makes it that way, you know, out here. Or pizza, you know. On the West Coast in cities, yeah, you can get pizzas all right. But it's not like where I grew up. Like, Italian food is just kind of everywhere because of all the Italian immigrants who came over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so while there's certainly Italian places.
Or, like, smoked salmon.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that's fairly hard to get in many places. But,
okay,
of course, yeah, that just comes in your breakfast cereal up there in Seattle, right?
Oh, it's gross. It's really gross.
They,
Salmonos!
Lots of omega-3s.
We have very nice hair and fingernails, but we are pale as the dickens.
But the hair and fingernails, I mean, it's perfect because you can sell your hair and fingernails to those from less blessed areas of the country.
The fingernail market is pretty lucrative. I don't know if you know that.
Well, I'm picturing people in Miami. Sure, they're tan, but how are their fingernails? So they get glue-on fingernails from living donors in the Pacific Northwest.
Right. They're authentic fingernails. You can get the cheap stuff, or do you want the real, authentic human hair wig / fingernails?
You gotta go. Of course I want a human hair wig.
Yeah.
I would prefer if nearly all of my things were made out of human hair. You ever wear a human hair sweater? It's the best.
It's not scratchy at all. It's really comfortable.
Yeah. Well, it depends on, you know, how well nutrienteded
your hair grade.
Were. Yeah, hair grade. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's you have to pass a certain series of tests.
Do you ever make a doll out of someone's human hair?
Of all the time.
So comfortable to sleep with.
Did I tell you the story about my sister's cat?
Yes. You did tell me the story. But maybe you should tell our listeners about the story. I don't know. I don't really remember.
So, my sister has a cat that sheds all the time. And I think, so she was making for her her roommate who sort of obsessively or compulsively, not obsessive compulsively, but one or the other, sort of rearranges the furniture in his room or in the apartment. Because it's never quite right. He's always trying to get it just right.
Okay.
And so as a gift for him, which I thought was cute, was she made a sort of two-scale version of the room with, like, little furniture so he can, like, test things out.
Aww.
It's like a Zen garden, but, like,
with
for furniture.
Furniture.
Yeah.
That's
cute.
Nice. Does he use it?
He does, as far as I know.
Okay.
And so she also made a version of the cat, and she was like, well, I might as well just use some of this fur the cat is constantly putting out. So she makes a tiny little thing. And then I offhandedly said, look, you need to make a full-size version, like an extra cat, which I think is a joke many people say, is like, oh, with the amount this cat sheds, I could have a whole other cat in a week.
Yeah.
Except she's doing it. And so when I was there, we were talking, I visited her a few months ago, and she was like, and all of a sudden she got real excited, her eyes widened, and she said, oh, I have to show you. And she pulls out this shoebox.
Oh, man.
It is full of just gray cat hair. And she's like, I'm making another one. And now that was crazy. But
yeah.
What was really crazy was when I saw the googly eyes in there already. It was practically a living thing as it was.
And oh,
it was about to, like,
no.
Crawl out.
Oh, no. And I think the first time you told me the story, I said something which I think is a good rule to live by. You should never at any point in your life have a box of hair.
Mm.
That's a sign that something is weird about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps if you're a wig master or something.
But a box of hair?
No, you're right. You're right. For our purposes, I mean, you know, we could delve deeper into other people's lives, but I think you
listeners,
and I and everyone we know shouldn't have boxes of hair.
Listeners, I challenge you to come up with an instance where it is a sane decision to have a box of hair.
And with that, we'll be right back in a minute on the Doom and Fail podcast. Think about it. On the Doom to Fail podcast, we're ready to talk about science. Now, you hate agriculture, right? You've expressed this to me before. You think farming is, like, crazy boring, right?
I hate farming culture. I hate urban farming culture. I don't know. It's really complicated.
Yeah. Do you like gardening? Have you done this sort of thing?
Have I gardened before?
I don't know. What's your experience with dealing with plants and soil?
My mom used to garden, and I would help her.
That's
fun.
Cute.
Yeah. We grew tomatoes out in eastern Washington, where tomatoes grow. And they were really good. I liked them.
The other lands. From which the food comes.
The lands where tomatoes grow.
South America. So, well, we would. I won't bore you with the sort of agri-science details, but
you can. I just won't listen.
Well, the important thing is the others who listen. Who's listening? The people.
Yeah, go bore them by all means.
The thing that blew me away, and why I even want to talk about broccoli in the first place, is that it's of species Brassica oleracea. And pardon my butchering of the Latin language. Luckily, no living speakers to get upset with me, just nitpicking scientists. Those biologists, man.
I think linguists would also get mad at you.
Who?
Linguists.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
I think linguists tend to be descriptivists, not prescriptivists. They allow language to form it on its own.
Well, what do we call people who study Latin, then?
Pedants.
Is that a joke?
A little.
Okay.
It may have been the driest joke I've ever said.
Is that a joke? Well. Do you expect that to be funny? Why is it funny when I'm mean to you?
Don't do that. Don't. Are you... Is this a joke?
Is that... Are you serious? That. Or is that a joke?
On the Doom to Fail podcast. So, here we go. Broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, Savoy cabbage, and Chinese kale, also known as Kai Lan. What do all these things have in common?
Show me things that come from the same plant!
They're the exact same species! Also, good answer! Good answer!
Woo!
Good answer. There were all such bad answers on Family Feud, but I want to go on Family Feud just to, like, clap and say good answer effusively.
I think they'd be open to that.
Is it not totally crazy that, like, most of these sort of dark, cool weather greens we eat are literally the same species? Not the same, like, genus, not related, not the same family. They're the same species. They're just different cultivars.
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't gotten wiped out by some sort of plague or something. Right? Because that's a lot of greens that could be wiped out in one plague.
That's true, but they're grown pretty, you know, all over the place. And I suppose being the same species, they share a lot of genetic makeup, but it's not exactly the same. It's like breeds of dogs, you know?
Yeah.
Your broccoli is your Doberman Pinscher, and your cauliflower is more of a boxer. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, like that.
Oh, well, then this isn't as interesting.
It's still pretty interesting.
Okay, then it's interesting. I'm here for you.
I think really what it is it's that we define species in a weird way, I guess. I guess?
What is a species, though? Really?
I think it's pretty arbitrary.
When I talk to my
biologist friends, they're just like, the definition changed, and now they don't think it's the same species. And I mean, I love that... I love using this sort of taxonomic approach to understand the world when it's hopelessly complicated. It's like, well, how about we just start making groups and let's start working. Yeah. It's like you have a huge mess in your backyard. It's just got scrap iron and raccoons living in it and whatever. And you're just like, all right, I'm going to start putting rusty stuff over in that corner.
Put the raccoons on this pile, have a rusty iron pile, have a leaf pile.
Exactly. And it's like, maybe this doesn't make sense, but let's just start doing something.
And then you find a rusted leaf, and you're like, well, what the hell do I do with this?
Well, it's rust-colored because of beautiful fall foliage.
Or you find a rusty raccoon.
And you just pick one.
And you're like,
well, let's put it in between, or maybe we need to reassess and say that...
maybe we need to redo the piles.
Yeah, who knows? But we're willing to just do that. That's okay. And I like that. I like implicit admission of fallibility that is required for taxonomic approaches to naming anything.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Good on you, 1800 scientists.
Good on you.
Oh man. But so the sort of uncultivated version of Brassica oleracea, which is the species, is called wild cabbage. Also, interestingly, when you mix Chinese kale and broccoli, you get broccolini, which I really like. Have you had that?
Never had broccolini.
Oh, it's good. I like Chinese kale, I think.
Is
I think
that
I'm
like
trying
baby
to make...
broccoli?
Kinda. It's got like a longer stem.
Yeah, baby broccoli has that long stem.
All right. Perhaps that's it. I feel like broccolini must mean small broccoli, but I don't know for sure.
I bet it does.
Yeah, that seems about right. So I started thinking, well, okay, why do all our greens come from this? This is a little ridiculous. Turns out, high tolerance to salt and lime, which is a trait of this species, means that they can grow in really crummy places. And the fact that they grow in really crummy places, and in the winter, as we've discussed,
Lime
in cold weather
rock,
climates.
not lime. Which...
Not limes.
Okay.
Yeah, because then they would grow in tropical places
Right?
where limes grow.
Because there's so many limes there.
I don't know why those are the same word. They're like completely unrelated, right?
They're one's acidic, one's basic.
It doesn't make any
like
sense.
one is defined by being acidic and one is defined as being super basic.
Is that the fundamental property
it's
of
not the
limes,
fundamental
the fruit?
property, but it's like a major property. It's like a significant property.
You put it in the top five. You
Yeah.
say it's green, it's vitamin C.
Yeah.
Which is an
which
acid.
is an acid.
Yeah.
Right? It's the
It's
second
acidic.
thing that you describe it as.
I guess so. You know what? It's hard to, I think, come up with five descriptions for any fruit, really. Because very quickly I come down to what do you use to cook it. It's like, well, I'd put it in a key lime pie.
Let's see. Banana. Go.
Yellow. Oblong. Grows on a tree. Monkeys like it. And mushy.
Oh, I would have gone with potassium in there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even get there.
I think I would go to the composition pretty quickly.
I feel like... So there was a time when every time I would eat a banana, I would somehow like quietly remind myself about that it had potassium. And I feel like that's oddly self-congratulatory now that I think back on it.
Wait,
but, you know, it's the little things.
I think it's good that we're potassium. Reminding ourselves that we're eating healthy things.
Yeah, you need to reinforce that sort of
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
I do this with greens still to this day. Whenever I eat greens, I'm like, yes, greens, healthy. I really like greens, which is why I like Brassica oleracea. To my point, it grows in these terrible places, and it grows in cool weather, which is exactly why it has to be so good at storing nutrients, which is why we have so many great, healthy foods that come from it.
Oh.
Because the plant stores the nutrients, and then we tear down the plant's plans and just eat it instead, and we get the nutrients.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Isn't that
also,
great?
Also, screw you, plant.
Yeah.
My nutrients.
We are the dominant species.
Take that.
Oh, man. Forget whatever you were going to do. It's even worse because so with broccoli, I got into what's the difference between broccoli and cauliflower.
Oh, boy.
They're different cultivars. But one of the differences is that broccoli, all the little florets, those little bulbs at the top, are actually flowers. And you pick broccoli just before it blooms. So just before it can realize its life's goal, you tear it out.
Suck
yeah,
it,
so we're
broccoli.
Pretty mean to these things. Forget it. We're gonna
it's
do what
like,
we want.
It's kind of like the veal of the plant world.
Please expand upon this.
Well, because veal, it's like a baby cow, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you chain it awesome. To like a radiator or whatever.
Like in Black Snake Moan.
Yeah.
A terrible movie.
And you don't let it develop any muscles or develop into its full potential. Kind of like broccoli. We're not letting you develop into your full potential, broccoli. I'm
no
just
luck
eat
getting
you.
There.
You're delicious.
You can eat the leaves, though. They're super healthy, and I think I'm going to start doing that. I like greens because, you know, I get that little self-congratulatory boost.
Right, right.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite green?
I hate kale. Not
a
for lack of trying.
Do.
I tried to like kale a lot.
Yeah, that's fair. I like it in soup. If you have a nice, like hearty winter soup, kale, potatoes.
It just, yellow. It's like, I would love the soup if it wasn't so bitter. That's how I feel about soups
and if you
and
skip
kale.
The kale.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Can I just have salt water? Like warm salt water?
Exactly. Which is kind of what chicken broth is, and I love chicken broth.
You would just eat chicken broth?
Oh my gosh, I do all the time.
Good for you.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You just heat up chicken broth.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's really good for you. If you have a cold.
Where's that coming from? That's like a home remedy
thing. It's not
like,
good for you at all. It feels good. It just has salt in it, so it'll dry up mucus. That's really the only thing that's good for you.
See, otherwise, it just tastes really good. Otherwise, it just
tastes really
good. Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Oh, it comes from the mating, or probably came from the mating of Rob and Cauliflower. John.
You know, good for Rob and John.
Yeah, pretty good, I think. So that's the Doomed to Fail podcast for this week, and we'll see you next week. In the meantime, keep going out there and taking your swings, you know? Just, every day.
What? Sorry. What does that mean?
I know you don't do sports. I'll try again.
Okay.
Keep
knitting your sweaters.
Yeah. I was going straight to knitting and stitching. I just couldn't think of anything.
Because I'm a woman. Thank you.
Because you knit. You're so crafty.
Keep converging your Excel
files. This is the worst. Can we just...
keep making Tim angry. Keep recording podcasts.
Keeping on. Keep making the podcast. Just keep plowing the roads. Keep
plowing the roads.
Keep
feeding your horse.
Keep chasing those waterfalls.
Yeah, keep feeding your pets. Can we go with that?
Yes. Continue to take care of the animals for which you have taken responsibility. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Take me home. I'm feeling stressed. Put down your phone and I'll tell you what's happening next. Honey, you're passing the test. She sees what she wants to see.